Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? Thank you for making it here on early. I'm going to be talking about pathways to policy change, advancing tobacco control for Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders. I want to acknowledge the front and the back, our collaborators that you see here. We partnered with three community-based organizations, Families in Good Health in Long Beach, Empowering Pacific Islander Communities and Guam Communications Network in San Diego. And then our scientific advisors, Dr. Paula Palmer and Dr. Eliza Tong, and the appeal staff. I have no relationships to disclose. So starting off, the background for this project was the recognition that tobacco control policy change has been a significant intervention in decreasing cigarette consumption in the United States. And there are kind of key points where there's declines over the history of tobacco control policy, and those key benchmarks are the times where key policies have taken place. So recognizing that policy change has been very significant, we now have seen that the prevalence decline has started to stall, and that there continues to be high prevalence of smoking and other tobacco use among communities of color, including Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander subgroups. We also recognize that there are some unintended consequences of policy change that we need to look at, and I'll describe some of those a little bit later. But recognizing that the role of community engagement of our communities in mainstream tobacco control policy initiatives becomes kind of a key issue for us to look at. So 3 years ago, we were funded by the National Institutes of Minority Health and Health Disparities for a CBPR planning grant, community-based participatory research grant called COMPLETE. The COMPLETE project, the aims were to develop and test a four-pronged policy change framework to mobilize Cambodian and Pacific Islander communities, and secondly, to study pathways to successful policy change. And what I will share with you today are some preliminary data from that study. The hypotheses were that we felt that communities at a higher stage of readiness are more likely to be successful in tobacco control policy change, that leadership development as a capacity building piece is a critical component in building capacity and therefore readiness, and that tobacco control policy change requires a multi-level approach within our diverse API communities. The methods that we used for this study were, one, key informant interviews both communities in Long Beach and in San Diego. And then we used a baseline for a community readiness measure with coalitions in both communities. And then we had an intervention. They worked on policy change initiatives, and then we did a post-test. We kind of looked at the framework for how we move our communities toward policy change. The boxes that you see in blue kind of highlight the key components of which we focused on: community readiness, leadership development, and the four-pronged policy change model. This project was a community-based participatory research project. So using nine principles of CBPR, there's a couple that I particularly wanted to highlight. One is the promotion of co-learning and capacity building. And then secondly, requiring a long-term process and commitment. So many of these partners, we've actually been working with them for over 10 years. So it's really built upon not only previous CBPR studies that have happened, but also long-time collaboration in policy change and in other types of community health work. The principles of CBPR taught us that we needed to find different ways to represent the project. And so this came out of one of the first advisory committee meetings for COMPLETE, where they said, well, I can't quite picture how that project is supposed to look and what all the steps are. So we created this visual depiction of a river journey to describe how a community might move along a continuum or the river to get towards policy change. And so you can see key pieces here around assessment, capacity building and a bridge to policy change, and then the four streams of policy change. And we'll describe that a little bit more. The first data collection piece was key informant interviews among key community leaders in both the Cambodian community and the Pacific Islander communities. And through these key informant interviews, there were key elements that, that came out. And the three themes that we focused on were around policy change, intergenerational dynamics, and threats. Around policy change, the recognition that there hasn't been too much opportunity to become politically organized, that the community is pretty young within the United States. But at the same time, there have been some policy change efforts, for example, in the Pacific Islander communities, that second quote, where they have infrastructures and our ways of operation that involves policy change. Intergenerational dynamics was a key aspect of recognizing that in working with the leadership of the communities, we needed to kind of work through these dynamics and tensions that existed between the elders of the community and then the younger generation. And the importance of what we are describing as transitional leaders that helped to bridge that divide between the older and younger generations. And these had to do with threats or traumas that existed in the communities, such as in the Cambodian community, the experience of the killing fields and the trauma that created, and the very great importance that the elders particularly placed on that, and the needing to work with youth to understand that aspect, but also working with elders to recognize the leadership potential of youth in the community. When we collected the data on community readiness as a baseline, we used a extension of the trans-theoretical model that's been used for individual smoking cessation to map out the readiness of communities to engage in tobacco control and tobacco control policy change. And so we extended from five categories to seven categories that you see here. And then we worked with the representation from the coalitions to actually score across a wide variety of different categories. And these are the baseline assessment scores. So there are three major categories that we used: infrastructure and capacity building, research and data, and policy and advocacy. And within each of these major categories, there were anywhere from five to seven different subcategories that, when compiled together, gave an aggregate score. And so that you can see for San Diego's Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander communities, most of the scores were at the contemplation level, so at a very early stage. And similarly for the Long Beach Cambodian community, although under infrastructure and capacity building, they scored a little bit higher in the pre-planning stage. For the intervention, we used what has been described as the appeal four-prong policy change model. So policy change is often seen as legislative policy. We define policy much more broadly to include community policy, which is often described as voluntary policy, mainstream institution policy, which we describe as our parity work, and then the role of corporations or industry in creating corporate policy to respond to that level. And while it's not important to work on necessarily all four levels simultaneously, there's a recognition that there may be an easier entree point into policy change rather than just entering in through the legislative policy framework. And I'll describe some of that in a little bit. Another critical component of our intervention was our community leadership development program. Leadership development is something that we at our organization at Appeal have been doing for about 17 years and has been a critical component in being able to develop training and building skills among advocates within our Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander communities, but also being able to provide skills around policy change and motivation to be able to engage in policy initiatives. So the leadership training that we had was a intensive 3-day training, followed by technical assistance and support given to the communities in their work around policy change. And then the communities actually implemented or began to implement their policy change initiatives. There isn't enough time to go into great detail these initiatives, but just to describe that for the Cambodian community in Long Beach, they decided to work on creating smoke-free skate parks. Many of their youth hang out at skate parks, and while there are smoke-free areas, those parks happen to not have those restrictions, and so they wanted to create smoke-free skate parks. For San Diego's Pacific Islander communities, there were two policy initiatives that they wanted to work on. One was creating tobacco-free pledges from Pacific Islander community organizations to support being smoke-free, as well as not to accept funding from tobacco industries. And then their project also included creating smoke-free multi-unit housing, particularly in the areas of San Diego that are not very well protected. And this was a project that they collaborated on. Actually, for both the projects, they were collaborations with the local health department and tobacco control coalitions. And while over the period of a year in which these policy initiatives took place, they weren't fully implemented or passed, there was a lot of progress made in getting the communities involved and engaged in policy change and are moving closer to be able to get those policies passed. This project just recently was able to do the post-intervention score. We're not able to do the full analysis, but just want to give you some preliminary data on the differences between baseline and post-intervention. And we'll start off with the San Diego Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander communities first. Those are the first two rows. And so you can see almost every single category and the overall composite score that there is an increase both in the score and in the readiness level. And these are average scores, so even within some of these categories like infrastructure for Pacific Islanders, where you can see the score of 4.20 preparation, there are actually some scores within the subcategories that were action initiating and much higher. But you could see that there's an increase across the board for all of those categories. As well as for Long Beach, Cambodian community, some slight increases in infrastructure and capacity building, but significant increases in terms of research and data and policy and advocacy. So in summary, the recognition that community readiness reflects the diversity of the work done on comprehensive tobacco control, and particularly the important role it plays in helping to build capacity to do policy change. The leadership development piece provided an important infusion of community engagement on policy change, and those fellows that are were trained in that leadership training are now primed to be able to engage fully in policy change, and that sustaining engagement in policy change requires addressing major themes, incorporating those major themes into the intervention and helping to create more resources and develop leadership within the community so that we can have a core of advocates ready to do policy change on a multiple array of health and other community issues. So I'm going to end there. I also wanted to again acknowledge the individuals and the organizations that were involved in this project, including the Complete Advisory Committee, and happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.